Jesus, in your special way, what was impossible, Papa, you made possible.
Hallelujah. Blessed evening to everyone. I celebrate grace. Hallelujah. Brother Paul and Sister Lily, God bless you for joining. Mrs. ABC, God bless you for joining. Man of God, Pastor Emmanuel Bwedi Boateng, I celebrate grace. God bless you for joining, sir. Man of God, Bernard, God bless you. Hallelujah. Beloved, Tonight is day four. Hallelujah. Tonight is day four of our Supernatural Enlightenment Conference. Now, wherever you are, I just wanted to open your mouth right now and please begin to bless the name of God. I wanted to begin to lift high the name of God. I wanted to lift high. Oh, wow. Amazing. Trinity has joined us. Wow. God bless Trinity. And God bless Grace also. Wow. Trinity, God bless you. God bless you. Wow. And I believe that you are going to be edified and imparted and anointed tonight in a special way. I'm greatly humbled. I'm greatly humbled, man of God, Pastor Emmanuel Bwedi Boateng. Hallelujah. Just bless, please bless the name of God. I want you to lift high the name of God. Kaya bada zuyende ele prakida bashanda esprayantani esala trakira valashe. Oh, zieno, zieno, shola hala frenaya, shola hala frenaya, shola hala frenaya. Ayevende kimba gevelin devela adrai. Oh, bless the name of God, somebody. There is none like him, and none can be compared unto Jehovah. Kalavrenita lavrina sulandragila atragila shapradila redish elegadelegadai sutali kenelie esprakalisha lembrakira valando tuzeleteli vende levrina. Respradela kaladesh celebrandai oskandeliba zinda ra italagada celemele vene kona vana lemeni vanela. Somebody bless the name of God. Kumie selembe lieva divato elebrende kabalamba oshekene mene menai zikele fride le grahista lavrai shalembra in dele sontadai azwenka ilemba yatai esprila tarasenda kunda la kavalia ei yushala she liemina kawa dole sembre dole zembre esprie telelesh koyande koyande ezavielo shemra terayeze terayeze kina mama 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 o shande baba baba kemamba baba boria esprayali tus elamba novelina veneletai kumbalataya zuye. I wanted to bless God for the life of the preacher tonight. Bless God for the life of his family. Bless God for his ministry. Bless God for the word that he has put in the mouth of the preacher man to be delivered unto us. Bless God for the presence of God that is with him, the real and the manifest presence of God. Open your mouth, open your mouth. Duzali tali kenonda kombe kombe kombe. Yeah, shekele velele vele gadai indivendili shaka baba baba ili panda banduri anda lagada. Bless God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit upon him. Ili mashanda ilei wazalin tali shahalie esprie regadeya. Bless God for the clear weather in Delisha. Bless God for a hitch free ministration tonight across all the networks in the name of Jesus. Kalima Kaboriande. Bless God for the spirit of understanding. Kamiata Kim Mumakima Kemam Talim Muhambie Izalim Aniv Regedai Zalambra Kidil Harand Azalil Kuran Izilan Chelan Chilizan Kiran Azali Zurande Isprendo. In the name of Jesus Christ, In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, once again, God bless you for joining tonight's edition of the Supernatural Enlightenment Conference. Hallelujah. Now, we witnessed what the Lord did on day one. We witnessed what the Lord did on day two. We witnessed what the Lord did on day three. Now, tonight is day four, and we are in the year 2024. Hallelujah. We are in the year 2024, the year of manifestation, the year of wonders. Hallelujah. The year that we are enthroned in the spirit, we are occupying till he comes. And I believe that the spirit of the Lord is mighty in this place. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, this man of God, he is a great man of God. Hallelujah. And he is not just a friend, but he is a brother. Hallelujah. He is a brother. And he is an apostle of God, but he always likes to be called a reverend or a pastor. He is an apostle of God. He is a man of the spirit. He is married. Hallelujah. And he is also an author. Hallelujah. He is an author. There are books that he has written. And when you get some of the books, his books are all over Amazon and all over the net. Hallelujah. When you get his books to read, you know that, wow, you are feeding. You are feeding on deep things. Hallelujah. So without much ado, with a round of applause, as we put in even some fire emojis, let us welcome tonight. We are most grateful. Hallelujah. And we are very much privileged to have him. So let us welcome on the podium, on the platform tonight, the man of God, Reverend Moses Charisma Kokroko, as he brings us the word that the Lord has placed in his spirit. And beloved, the only thing I will say is that please be attentive. Hallelujah. Be attentive so that you don't miss what the Lord has for you. God bless you so much, and have a wonderful time in the presence of God. Amen. Man of God, please, you can take over.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you for the privilege to speak in this year's Supernatural Enlightenment Conference. I thank you so much for putting this together. I'm having a little challenge with my network here. I've been trying to adjust it here and there, but it doesn't seem to be very strong. So kindly, in the course of the teaching, kindly alert me if you can't hear me or something, so that I could switch. So I'm trying to alternate between my MTN and my Vodafone. So please kindly help me in the course of the teaching, if you can't hear me, so that I could make adjustment as quickly as possible. I don't know if you actually heard what I said. Please let me know if you heard me, because okay, all right, sure. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you glory, honor, and adoration. We bless you for your grace and your mercy. We bless you for how far you have brought us. Thank you for the life of the convener. And thank you for the life of all the ministers who have ministered before me. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the lives of your wonderful people who have been here to partake of the blessings of this season. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your abundant grace upon our lives. Thank you for the privilege to stand as your ministers. For Paul says, having this ministry, as you have obtained mercy, we faint not. This is a very rare privilege, and Heavenly Father, we do not take it for granted. We ask, Heavenly Father, that tonight you show yourself strong. Give us understanding, Lord. Give your people understanding. Let the understanding be enlightened, the eyes of their hearts be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of their calling, what the riches of your glory, of your inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of your power to them. I am asking, Heavenly Father, that tonight my lip will be like the pen of a ready writer. Touch my lips, O God, and I pray that tonight your people are anointed to hear, and I am anointed to speak. I thank you, Father. I bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you so much for tonight. Thank you for coming on board. I want to first thank God for this great opportunity. And I want to thank the Apostle Justice Mantelabi, a very wonderful brother. We met many years ago. I don't remember. I think it's been about 7-8 years now. Yeah. Very we met a while ago, and then it's been a blessing. There is a way God brings people together, and I am very grateful for this relationship. God bless you so much, Apostle Justice, for all you do for the kingdom, for all you represent in the kingdom. Thank God for your life, for the life of your family and everybody around you. I also want to thank God for the ministers. I'm not too familiar with the names, but Apostle Emmanuel Buedu and Apostle Fabiano, and then all the ministers who are here. God bless you so much, and thank you for all the powerful words you have shared. My network has been disturbing me, so I try to come in and out like that and all that. So but I've really benefited from all that you ministered. Right from day one, I had a program on the day one, so I couldn't join, but I've tried to join all the other days. So I appreciate you all. God bless you so much, men of God, for availing yourselves to be used for the cause of Jesus. God bless you. And I thank everybody else here who has been here from day one. I always say that it's a real privilege. We are here because of you. And if you are not there, we are nothing. All right. So God bless you for taking time out. I know that there are many things you could have given your time to, but you've decided to be here. So God richly bless each and every one of you for being here. God bless you. Right, so tonight I'm going to share something very simple and also very brief, and I'm going to go straight to the point, because a lot has been said about eternal life, and eternal life is a very interesting subject, and a lot has been said about it. This is the higher life. A lot has been said about it, and tonight I want to talk about I don't even know how to entitle it anyways, but maybe how to manifest life. How to manifest life. All right, so how to manifest life. Many has been said, a lot has been said, and I want to just also add my part, and then God willing, tomorrow, the last day, then we'll have a very complete picture of what the higher life represents. So I want to talk about how to minister life, and I am going to share from the life of Jesus, the life of the apostles, the lives of the post-biblical saints, the life of people who have come before us. There is this burden that I share, and that is that we would be Christians indeed. The burden I share is that we would be Christians indeed. We would be true Christians. And when I talk about being Christians indeed, I'm talking about being the kind of Christians that God himself wants us to be. The kind of Christianity that we saw in the early church. The kind of life that we saw manifest in the early church. The kind of things they did, the way they conducted themselves and all that. So, eternal life is a very powerful concept. And we may wonder why we need eternal life. The Bible actually tells us that Jesus has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10, I think, yeah. He has abolished death. Jesus has abolished death. He has annihilated death. He has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, there is nothing on earth that we need as humans than life. Because when you look at the rise of scientists, when you look at the rise of therapists, you look at the evolution of medicine, you look at the rise of law, the evolution of other institutions like the DOSU, Domestic Violence Victim Support Unit, you look at the rise of emotional therapists, you look at all these people. When you look at this, you see one thing, and that one thing you'll see is the fact that there is a consciousness in us as humans that we need help. We have a consciousness that we could better our situation. And this this consciousness is a testament of the fact that we admit we had fallen beyond, we had fallen from where God actually wants us to be. So the rise of medicine and all these things is man's attempt to help the situation. Man is attempting to help the situation. That is how man is trying to help. So medical science is trying, but one thing that we do not realize is that man's problem is deeper than medical science could reach. We thank God for medical science, but like I always love to say, medical science only manages the situation. Man was not created to be a mortal. That is a fact. And because when we talk about mortal, we are talking about association with death. Or what is death? Mortality is death. Man was not created to be a mortal. The life man was created to live and enjoy and expressed was what we call is what we call the higher life, which is the eternal life, the everlasting life. But then, because of eternal death, that is the disobedience of Adam, we have all found ourselves in death. So we died, and now we die physically because we are died spiritually. Physical death is as a result of spiritual death. So we die physically because we have died spiritual death. And so the way that Jesus had decided to abolish this physical death is to first of all abolish eternal death. And this is why I made that statement that medicine only manages mortality. Emotional therapists manage mortality. When you see a man depressed, yes, emotional therapists, rehabilitation centers, they exist to help manage the situation, but the problem goes deeper, very deep, beyond where all these people could reach. So they exist to manage. So we see medical science managing mortality. Right now, there are situations that they can't, especially with genetics, issues that deal with genetics. Medical science is struggling. When you look at sickle cell problems, AA, all these things, they are as a result of a problem that happened years, ages ago. And medical science is trying the best to manage. So if somebody is a sickler, the only thing that happens medical science can do is to manage the situation. They cannot change the SS sickle cell to AA. They can't do it. Even though now they have instituted what we call genetic engineering. And the purpose of genetic engineering is to try to correct the problem within man's DNA. You know, research actually shows that the reason why man ages, the reason why man dies and ages is as a result of the fact that there are accumulation of errors in man's DNA. And I do not want to go there, otherwise I would digress. There's an accumulation of errors in man's DNA. So errors have been accumulated, and that is what is causing all these problems. So man naturally is dead. Man, a natural man is dead. The man of God spoke about the natural man at that time. That is the man without God, the man without life, the man who does not have a touch of eternity. That man is referred to as a dead man. And this dead man, you know, the only thing, the only solution to death is life. Life is the solution to death. And that is why when Jesus was into the world, interestingly, he came with a biological term. Jesus Christ did not come to modify the character of humans. Because, you see, there is a lot of character defect. There is a lot of problems that we have as humans. There are a lot of issues that deal with our character. And it is as a result of the fact that there is a deeper problem. It is genetic. The problem is in our is a spiritual genetic defect. And so when he came, he did not come to modify the character, but he came to implant a nature within us. And that nature is the life that he came to implant. So Peter actually tells us that he has we are partakers of the divine nature. You know, so when Jesus came, he came with a term born again. He had come to implant the essence, the divine essence we lost, that is producing all the problems that we have. He had come to re-implant it into us. And so Peter said he has made us a partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He had made us partakers of the divine nature. So we are partakers. We have partaken of the divine nature. And the most interesting thing is that after you have partaken of the divine nature, it will help you. You are helped. Okay, you are helped. You are no more considered a dead man. Even though you can still die physically, because physical death, as Paul said, is the last enemy that shall be destroyed. But eternal death is destroyed, which means that now there is a potential that exists within you. I do not want to go deeper into this because the subject is how to manifest life. Alright, so after eternal life has helped you, the life of God has helped you. It has helped you to become better. After the life of God has transformed you, you now have a responsibility. And the responsibility is that you impact this same life to other people. That is it. We impact the same life to other people. So there is something that Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you read about it, he said we are pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Then he went on to say we are being delivered unto death so that the life of Christ will also be made manifest in our mortal bodies. We have been delivered unto death, that the life of Christ also may be made manifest through our mortal bodies. Then when you read the verse 11 and 12, it says, so then now, death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul understood the fact that after the life had transformed us, it has made us better. It has brought us to how God originally intended us to be. Then now we are supposed to impact the same life into others and bring them into the liberty that we ourselves are enjoying. So when you look at Romans chapter 8, thank you so much for the scripture. Thank you. So when you look at Romans chapter 8, Paul said the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Then he said, for the creation was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, that the creature also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Beloved, the liberty we have been called into is not just liberty. It is called the glorious liberty. The glorious liberty. So he says that there is a responsibility, that creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because creation is in bondage and it is desiring to come into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And every chaos on earth falls within our realm of responsibility. I always say this, every chaos on earth falls within our realm of responsibility as the sons of God. When you read Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah made a statement that Jesus Christ had been subject, he had endured grief. And that grief was called the travail. And that travail produced a seed. And the purpose of that seed is to prolong his days, which means that Jesus Christ underwent a travail. He was subject to pain. He went through travail. He endured shame, torture, pain, to the point that men despised him. The Bible says that he was despised of men. And when we saw him, there was no comeliness. There is nothing about him that we should desire. And the Bible is telling us that the only reasons why he endured all this is because he had to give birth to a seed. And the purpose of that seed is to prolong his days. Prolong his days. The Bible says, he shall prolong his days. He shall prolong his days. So right now, whatever Jesus Christ was doing before he died, whatever Jesus Christ was doing before he died is exactly what we, the sons of God, are called to continue. That is it, because even though his death, he had died and had resurrected, and he now sits in heaven right now, he is still alive because we are the extension of Christ. We are prolonging his days. So he lived for 33 years. He lived for only 33 years. all the works that he was doing before he died, that is the state in which he was before he died, was the same state he had brought us. That state he was in before he died is called the state of the Son of God. That is the God-man, the state of the Son of God. That's the state he was. And so the Bible tells us that, for it became him, Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 9 and 10, it said, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory. So Jesus Christ came to die to raise sons unto God, and these sons have a responsibility of prolonging his days, which means that everything that the Lord Jesus began before he went to the cross is the same work we are supposed to be doing right now. That is what we are supposed to continue. What was he doing? He was teaching the civilization of heaven. He was healing the sick. He was imparting life. He met a man. He met a person who was dead. The Bible says that he touched the bier. He touched the bier and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. What did he do? He impacted life. And the Bible says that we are to prolong his days. He is not physically on earth, as in his physical body, but right now we are his physical body. So even though he is dead to an extent, he is still alive. He's still alive, and he is alive through us. And we are the people to prolong. We are the people to prolong his days. We are the people to prolong his days. He came to impart life, and it is our responsibility to impart life. He came to impart life. It's our responsibility to release life. What we have received is life. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Beloved, you see, there is a lot of things that are going on today, and we are not. The reason why today everybody is mocking us, Christians are considered nuisances and all these things, is because there is no life. You see, the man who doesn't desire, even the atheist, has a consciousness of life, of his corrupt state and a desire for life. It is woven in him, because the Bible says he has put eternity in the heart, in human heart. You see, so even if the person says, I do not want God, I don't desire God, I hate God, the person does not actually mean he hates God. If Christians would arise to release life, to express life, to live like Jesus lived, then we'll see people coming back to the Lord. We'll see people getting excited about Christianity all over again. It doesn't mean that the world would embrace Christianity, because the world, because Christianity has a civilization that is clashing with that of the earth, they will always hate us. But you see, there are things that they cannot deny when we do. That is why in the book of Acts, the Bible says that they perform miracles, and the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, said, we have seen that a notable sign has been done of this man, and even though we don't like them, we can't deny. A notable sign had been done. And although we don't like them, we hate them, we don't like the things that they are doing, we don't like the fact that they are preaching Jesus, because it looks like that Jesus is opposing Moses, and Jesus is standing counter to Moses' teachings or whatever, but there is something they have manifested. And this thing that they have manifested, we cannot deny. The Bible calls it a notable sign. It is something, and we cannot deny it. They say, and we cannot deny it. That is it. So Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We are sent to impact life. We are supposed to impact life to the world. That is what we are sent to do. The impartation of life. That people would hear us speak and our words would impact life. People, I had a vision the other time. I had a vision when I was writing one of my books. In the course of the writing, I had a vision. And the vision I had was the fact that I saw Teofilo Sunday, and Teofilo Sunday was ministering. And as he was ministering, everybody in the congregation was dead. They were lying flat, dead. Everybody was dead. Then this guy was ministering from eternity. He was ministering. Then as he kept ministering, he was ministering. Then I saw something like a vapor that came out of his mouth as he ministered. As he was ministering, he was exuding a vapor. And as the vapor, anybody in whom the vapor entered came back to life. And I was looking and I said, what is this? What is this? Anybody in whom the vapor entered, came to life. So the vapor entered everybody. It kept entering. So it enters this person. The person comes back to life. It enters this. The person comes back to life. It entered the person. All of a sudden, everybody in the room came back to life. They were energized. This is why there are people who listen to certain people and they can't sleep again. It's as if their sleep had been taken away from them. What happened? They had a collision with life. They collided with life, because the words the person was speaking from, the words were carriers of life. And as the words entered, they were like that vapor I saw, and it began to energize them. It began to energize them. How do we release this life? Number one, growing in stature. Growing in stature. I could dwell here on only this point for the rest of the time, but I'm going to run through them because, I mean, every other point is important. Now, growing in stature. The Bible says God gave apostles. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That stature. You see, the word dunamis, which we see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I want to teach now. The word dunamis in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. You shall receive power. The word power, dunamis there, is actually the power inherent in you as a result of who you are. It is the power inherent in a thing as a result of its nature. This is why most men call it potential power. Potential power. I personally don't feel it defines it well, but it brings a certain understanding. All right. Potential, they call it potential power, dunamis. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. You shall receive power. Potential power. That word dunamis used there is the word. All right. It is the expression of potential a person possessed as a result of who the person is. For instance, when you look at us, the reason why we call this a higher life is because of the source of the life and the environment of the life. Now, when you look at the animal, let's take a goat for instance. A goat has life, but the life the goat has is not the Adamic life. That is not the life the goat has. The goat has a different life that is different from the human life. One thing you need to understand about life is that potential is hidden within life. Possibilities are inherent in life. Life carries possibilities by themselves. That is why when you look at Titus chapter 2 verse 11 and 12, the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. What is it doing? It is teaching. The grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, which leads soberly, righteousness and godly. So there are inherent possibilities within life. So the reason why the goat cannot communicate the way we communicate is because humans have a life that is superior to that of the goat. The goat functions on a lower life. We function on the Adamic life, the bios, the biological life. That is what we function on. So when you look at the goat cannot talk. The goat cannot hold conversations with us. The goat cannot have discussions with us. The goat cannot tell us it is hungry. And so even though a goat and a goat can communicate on the same level, a goat cannot communicate with man on the same level, because they function from different platforms of life. There are possibilities that we have just because we are humans. So for instance, you can study and become anything. You can study and become great as a result of your study. It is inherent. There are possibilities that are inherent in the Adamic life. For one of them is talking. Talking is inherent in the Adamic life. Talking is inherent in the Adamic life. That is why the other time on Sunday, I was discussing something with some people and it looked very strange to them. I told them that verbal communication is one of the lowest forms of communication. Verbal communication is one of the lowest forms of communication. And I told them, because you see, and I was telling them that one of the ways
we know how deep a person is connected with somebody is that they can communicate without using verbal language, even before you. So there are certain communication that my wife and I can do. I can communicate in a way my wife will understand, you will not understand, because of the depth of the connection we share. And I was telling them that, you see, there is a way a believer works with God so much that God transmits his heart to the believer without verbal language. And I was saying that most of the time God is sovereign and he can function anyhow, so I'm not boxing God. But for many times, the reasons why we expect God's audible voice is because of the limitation, is because of the disparity that exists between the live platforms we share, and also because we don't have a deeper connection. For people who have a deeper connection with the Lord impacts his heart directly onto them. So the people can wake up with a strong burden. I remember Amy Beatrice Carmichael, who was an Irish who lived in England. This lady, a young lady who just got up, go and find a career to do, go and find something doing. This lady rose up and said for her, she's going to India to go and preach the gospel. Like, it was a shock to everybody. He said, people are dying, souls are dying in India. And when you read about Amy, you understand that it wasn't that God came and said, my daughter Amy, go. What did the Lord do? He imparted his heart for Indians upon him, upon the lady, upon her. He impacted his heart. And the lady picked up her heart, his heart, God's heart, and she began. She received the impulses from God. Direct communication. So you see, there is power that is inherent. There are potentials that we have because we are humans. We are supposed to walk. We don't need eternal life to walk. Do you see that? We don't need eternal life to walk. But when a man also becomes lower, goes lower than what is expected of the Adamic life, then eternal life can bring him back to the state of what Adamic life is supposed to do. What I mean is that if a man is not walking, even though he should walk, it is inherent in the Adamic life that when you are growing, you begin to walk. If a man is growing and he's not walking, then there is a deformity. Then eternal life can come in there and correct the problem and bring him back to normalcy. You see, so there is power inherent in being. So in the eternal life, likewise in the eternal life, there are possibilities within the eternal life. So Jesus said, he that believeth in me, what shall he do? He shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He shall speak with new tongues. If he drinks anything deadly, he shall not hurt him. But do you realize that most of us are drinking deadly things and we are being hurt? Most of us are laying hands on the sick and they are not being recovered. Do you realize that most of us are not even speaking in new tongues? Do you realize that some of the possibilities you read in the Bible are not applicable to many Christians? Do you realize that? And for most of them, it looks more like the Bible is not true. The Bible is a facade. It is cunningly contrived. But you see, the people who have the experience, Peter said, we have not believed cunningly devised fables. He said, we were with him on the mountain. When they came, a voice from the excellent glory saying, this is my blessed son. He said, and this voice also we heard. So we have not believed cunningly devised fable. John will say that which we are from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. And this life was manifested and we have seen it. They got to a point where they could not entertain doubt about the possibilities contained in the life. But you see, there are many things that we read from the scriptures that we can't see in our lives. We can't see in our life. Why? Because there are possibilities inherent in what we are, the nature we have received. For instance, you can be a human being. Okay? That is why we have human beings who are not intelligent. They are not intelligent. Academically, they cannot read. They are 50 years old. They cannot read. Doesn't mean that there is no potential. The potential is there. Look at this. The potential is there. Because the potential to read and understand and improve the memory is in the Adamic life. That potential is there. But they did not utilize, they didn't unearth it. They didn't, what is the right word to use? They didn't make the most of it. You see, they didn't make the most of it. The potential is there. So they died without seeing what they could have achieved, what they could have done. They could have done a lot because there was a potential in the Adamic life, but they died as if there was no potential. They died as if what the weaknesses they had was inherent in the Adamic life. But there are people who have Adamic life, and they look at the things that scientists are producing. Look at the thing. These are possibilities inherent in Adamic life. They are using the potential, the mental power. That is what they are using. The power within the soul. That is what they are using. It is there. There are possibilities in the Adamic life. But most of us will live and not see these potentials. We will live and not be able to unnet these potentials. We will live and not be able to tap these potentials. But they are there. You see, they are there. But we'll live without being able to tap them. Because the things that are required for us to unnet them, we do not do them. We don't do them. So in the eternal life, there are possibilities like that. Ability to heal. That is what he's saying. There is potential. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. You shall receive dunamis, inherent power. Just by virtue of being something, just by virtue of possessing a life, there are possibilities inherent in a life. So the eternal life, there are possibilities. And when you look at the early church, you could see shadows healing the sick. These are possibilities inherent in the life. The Bible says there were special miracles that were done by the hands of Paul. These were inherent, such that handkerchiefs and aprons, you see bodies conducting energy. You see shadows conducting energy. How does a shadow conduct energy? How does a shadow conduct energy? So much that shadow passes by. How does dresses conduct energy? Such that a woman who had the issue of blood will just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Then there is a transmission of life from Jesus to the woman. And all of a sudden, mortality is destroyed. You see, believers, we are people who talk about the things we do not live. This is one of our problems. We talk about things we don't live. And when you look at our generation, one of our major pursuits is not in becoming. It is in getting something to do something. We are not thinking about the fact that there is a stature that we are supposed to climb to. Even though we need to understand that Christocentric people are telling us that most of these Christocentric people are trying to tell us that, oh, prayer is not important. Fasting is not important because I am a new creation. We believe in these realities. I tell my friends around that I don't think that some of them believe in new creation realities than I do. You see, this is the fact. It's not even about whether we believe or not, because they are an undeniable fact. These are there. These are there. Do you see? But we need to understand that to come into the vital experience of the things that have been done for us requires more than just the fact that we are born again. Do you see? To come vitally, to vitally experience the realities in the life. For instance, the fact that you are a human being doesn't mean you can tap the potentials within the Adamic life. You can be a human being. You have the life, but there are potentials hidden that you can't go. Have you seen people are inventing things? Others cannot invent anything. People are studying. People are going places. They are doing things. Others are not able. Others die as if they had a different life from the ones the other ones had. You see two people, they all have their Adamic life. You look at two people. All these two people have their Adamic life, but their existence is very different. Their surroundings are very different. The way their minds work is very different. So the fact that you are a human being doesn't mean that the potentials within the Adamic life can be tapped. It takes more than just being a human being to tap the potentials within the Adamic life. That is a reality I'm sharing with you here. It takes more than just born again, having the nature. You can have the nature and sleep over it. That is why Jesus, when you look at the scriptures carefully, Jesus referred to John the Baptist as a burning and a shining light. Oh, Jesus said he was a burning. The other time I read it and I said, may this be a testimony that Jesus himself will give about me. May this be that I was a burning and a shining light. He said John was a burning. Which means that it is not enough to be a light. You must burn. You must shine. You see? So we are lights by virtue of the fact that we have the nature of God. We are lights by virtue of the fact that right now we are partakers of the divine nature. We are brought into God's community because the way people can relate on the same level is that they possess the same essence. So we have been brought into the God community. Do you see that? We have been brought into the God community. That is a fact. That is a fact. But the issue is that there are potentials within this God community that we cannot, unless we grow. We have to become. We have to become. We are supposed to become. We are not supposed to focus. Hear me. The disciples did not just focus. The disciples of Jesus did not just focus on manifesting power. Their pursuit was not the fact that, oh, they are looking for somebody to lay hands on them. I believe strongly in hand laying because it is a spiritual principle. I believe it. But you see, when you look at the way the fathers lived, the Christianity that was in ages past, the people did not know doctrine, but their lives were a doctrine. They did not know Christian doctrine in the head, but the things we are saying with our mouth is what was their life. They lived the doctrine. Their lives were a doctrine. So the Bible speaks about Ezra. The Bible says Ezra sought the law of the Lord to what? To do it before teaching in Israel statutes and judgment. Yeah. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. We are supposed to become. We are not focused on growth. We are believers. There is the reason why God established the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints. That is it. Why? For what? For the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ will be edified. To the intent that we all come to the unity of the faith. Unto the measure of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is where we are getting to. We are not focused on the things that will develop us. I see some of my young people, some of my fellow young people, and our pursuit is power. It is good to have power, but I see our pursuit is just the anointing. And you see that they are pursuing things that they do not have the capacity to handle. I remember growing up, I used to pray for the anointing of Benihin. I will cry for the anointing of Benihin. I will cry. I said, Lord, I read about Catherine Kuhlman. I said, no, something is wrong with me. I read about Catherine. I said, something is wrong with me. No, Lord, I need the anointing of Catherine Kuhlman. I need the anointing of Benihin. Until now, I am still not manifesting it. Do you know why? Because God is not an irresponsible father. Christocentric people will tell you God has given us everything. That is the truth. But the Bible says the son, as long as he is an heir, differeth nothing from a servant. The heir, he possesses everything of his father, he is the heir, but as long as he's a child, the Bible says, differeth nothing from a servant, but is kept under tutors and governance until the time appointed of the father. He is the heir, everything the father has belongs to him. He is the heir, it is for him, but it takes more than being an heir to vitally experience the inheritance. That is what he's telling us. Growth is essential. And that is why when Jesus Christ came, he told them, come. When he called Peter and Andrew and his brother, he said, come and I will make you. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. I say that we look at come, which is the calling. Come and I will make you to become fishers of men. Come is the calling, come. And then the next one is I will make you. The destiny is the fishers of men. So to the intent, by the time we are done, the manifestation is that you will become a fisher of men. But before then, there is a middle process called make. Come, come. Today we come and all we are doing is going. We come and then when we come, we start going. Come and I will make you, fishers of men. Come and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do you see? And I will make you. We forget about the making process. And so we see a lot of people, no character. You see how a man of God talks. Oh my God. I read about William J. Seymour. It was John G. Lake in his Adventures with God who gave that testimony about William J. Seymour, the pioneer of the Azusa Street Revival. William J. Seymour was said to be a man who did not respond to criticism. Do you know why? He had matured. He had come out of ordinary life. Ordinary people are those who respond agitatedly to criticism. Do you see? There is a maturity we have to get to. There is a state we have to grow to that would correspond with the power that we desire. If we have the power without the corresponding stature, we will become a nuisance and we will go about misrepresenting God. We'll go about misrepresenting Him. Do you see? There is no stature. So he spoke about, John G. Lake said, for all the people he had met. That this is the testimony you can read from the Adventures in God. This is the testimony John Gillick gave about William J. Seymour. He said, for all the men he John Gillick has met, he has not met a man who manifests God so greatly like William J. Seymour. He said he has not met a man who manifests God so much like Seymour. And yet he said that if you see this man, his vocabulary is funny. His vocabulary is funny. His vocabulary, he has a funny vocabulary, but you can't deny that he was a yielding God. Oh, no. Malika Vila do Shaladina Makundave. Zali Kovalindo Prodiza. You can't deny that he is yielded God. You can't. It is something that cannot be denied. You can't deny that he has yielded God. He has yielded God. He manifested God to a greater degree. And this man didn't respond to criticism. He never responded to criticism. It was said, Robert Ladi wrote of him, he said that when you criticize William J. Seymour, he smiles. Stature! And the child grew and was strong in spirit. And the child grew. Why are we not focused on growth? Why are we not focused on growing in the stature of the Son of God? Why are we not focused? We cannot manifest life. You see, for the life we manifest to be sustainable, we are supposed to grow. Either than that, we'll just be once in a while we manifest something. Once in a while. I always say this. Do you remember that the disciples of Jesus were given power to go even before they were done with their training? No, they were given power. The Bible says he called the 12 and gave them power and authority to go and then minister. And the Bible says that they went to preach and they ministered. When they came back, they said even the demons, Luke chapter 10 verse 17, even the demons were subject to us. Then Jesus said, rejoice not. I'm going to show you something. Jesus said, rejoice not. In this rejoice not. He said, I beheld Satan falling like lightning. But in this rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do you realize that the disciples were so excited? They returned with joy. It was more like, hey, so what we could do this? What we have been able to do this? What we have been able to do this? Is this what we are able to do? Wow, Charlie, guys, Charlie, we show power. Do you see how people are talking so much about power today? It is a sign of the scarcity of the manifestation of life. A time will come when manifestation of life will no longer be news because it will become the natural life of the sons of God. When they mature to that stature, it will become our natural phenomenon. So if we do something little, you see broadcasts everywhere broadcasted. I understand that we say these things to give glory to God. But you see, not all of us say these things to give glory to God. Come on. It looks new to us. It looks new to us. You see that? It looks new to us. Like, by the time it's going to come, when it will become normal. Do you remember that after they went out to preach the gospel, they healed the sick, they were so excited. The demons were subject to them. They came back, they returned with joy. Charlie, wait till we have been able to do some more. Charlie, Peter, Abby, you heal them. Oh, Charlie, Andrew, the guy you pray for, he heal. He said, oh, Charlie, heal. Oh, Charlie, wait till we do this. Come on, fishermen, will they do this? But the time came, they manifested the life so much that the Bible says that Peter and John were going to the temple and at the beautiful gate, they healed them. I say, the man was asking for money, but he said, look on us. And then he said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, given I thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Do you see, after that, they wanted to worship them. If it were in their early days, when they were not matured yet, they would have been excited. They would have maybe said, oh, Charlie, yeah, we did it. Oh, Charlie, we did it. But this one, he said, well, look ye on us, as if by our own power, oh my God, as if by our own power we have done this. Well, look ye on us. As if, why are you looking at us as if by our own power we have done this? It is that same Jesus. It wasn't anything new to them anymore. It wasn't something they had worked so much in their life now. Oh, we are supposed to grow. I'm telling you, if you are with somebody who compels you to grow, don't leave the person alone. If you are with somebody who challenges you to go deeper into God, don't leave the person alone. No. No, because today we are not growing. We are running after power because even ministry has become an ambitious something. We are so ambitious. We want, no, no, no. Number two,
Number two, I don't have enough time. Number two, death to anything self. Death to anything self, or death to self. That is the second thing in manifesting life. All these things would be part of the growing, but I want to take them one by one. Death to self. You see, thank you so much, man of God. You see, Jesus Christ called the disciples and told them, come. Oh, when I was reading Philippians, Paul said, Philippians 3:3, we are the circumcision, we worship God in spirit, we glory in Christ Jesus, we have no confidence in the flesh. Look at this. Then he started talking about his credentials, the things he had achieved. Oh, the things he had achieved. Ah. Then he said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Uh-huh. Then he said, he studied under Gamaliel. Then I am from the tribe of Benjamin. He gave his credentials. And then he went on to say that those things that were gained to me, oh, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things that were gained to me, he said, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The estimable riches of the knowledge of Christ had more weight in Paul's heart than his earthly credentials. He said, I will count them as dung. Why? For the excellency. He said, the knowledge of God is excellent. Excellent means superior. Excellent. It is excellent above all else. Higher. The best of its kind. I will give everything for the knowledge. For the knowledge. He died to ambitions. He died to personal. To personal credit, there was nothing about himself that he could not give up. There is nothing he could not give up just so he could attain Christ. Then the verse 10 said, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering is that being made conformable unto his death. Beloved, we cannot we will only manifest life to the degree that death has worked in us. When you look at John chapter 12, the verse from verse 23, the Bible says, the time is come. Jesus said the hour is come that the Son of God should be glorified, the Son of Man should be glorified. Then he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. That principle was talking about. He was talking about himself, his death, his crucifixion. That is what he was talking about. But this is not a method. It is a principle. It is an intent. Now principle. And it is a principle. A goal before they could manifest life the way the Son of God manifested life. There are things that must die. We must experience decay. The life of Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16, verse 26, 27, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny his father, let him hate his mother, his father. If any man come to me and hate not his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, his wife, his children, and his own self. The Bible says that he cannot be my disciple. And then he said, if any man does not take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Do you know what it means by hate your mother, father? He's trying to say that there is no affection that should displace Christ. Our heart must be wholly given to Christ. We must be a people wholly given to God. We love Jesus more than we love our families. We love Jesus more than we love our wives. We love Jesus more than we love our children. We love Jesus more than we love our own selves. Our personal ambitions do not come in the way. We set them aside for the cause of Christ. No affection should displace him. Oh, no affection. No affection. We have to die to ambitions. We have to die. Do you see that in this generation we have so much ambition? This we have ambition. We are people who are so ambitious.
What we talk about as ministry, yes, we are doing ministry, but most of us are ambitious. And so you see a lot of chaos, a lot of fight, a lot of commotion here and there. This man of God hates this man of God. Why? Because he has come to start a church by him. This man of God hates this man of God because he has come to that city. He wants to take that city alone. This man of God doesn't like this one because this one has the prophetic gift and he doesn't have. And so he feels threatened that when his people see him, his people will begin to follow him. We are so threatened. Look at John the Baptist. He said, I must decrease, but he must increase. It doesn't matter if the will of God is that they follow Jesus Christ. If the will of God is that my disciples follow Jesus Christ, so be it. If the will of God is that my disciples should go after him, so be it. I must decrease, but he must increase. And we can manifest life to the degree that we decrease. When we decrease before God, that is when we increase before men. Look at the life of Moses. Look at Moses. Moses got to a point where the Israelites tormented him so well that, you see, God came to Moses and said, Moses, let me alone that I might destroy these people so that I will begin a nation with you. I want to begin a nation with you. Let me alone that I might destroy and begin with you. I will start with you. When I was reading that, I asked myself, was God actually trying to say he want to abandon his covenant with Abraham in order to start out with Moses? No, the question is that, no, think about it as children of God. Do you know the implication of abandoning the covenant with Abraham to begin with Moses? That alone could dent God's reputation. Yes, it means that it will not present him as the covenant-keeping God. It will not present him as the truthful God, the one who is truthful to his words. Isn't it in Hebrews 6 we learn that when God gave a promise to Abraham, he sealed it with an oath, so that by two immutable things, by which God cannot lie, he gave a promise. Look at this. Then now he said, allow me that I might start afresh with you. Now look at Moses' intercession. Moses said, Lord, what will people say? Look at Moses, if it were you and I, forget that man. Go. If you hear that God said, I have given a ministry to this man of God, but I'm not pleased with him, so I want to take the ministry and start it afresh with you. No, look at it this way. I want to take that ministry and give it to you. What would he say? Oh, God, give it to me, cry. Selfishness. Do you see? Selfishness. You say, give it to me. Take it and give it to me. That is a selfish disposition. That is it. But that is where Moses' heart was laid bare before God. Moses said, no, Lord. No, you can't do this. No, it was going to be in Moses' interest. Hey, it could have been, God is going to start a nation with me. Hey, Charlie, so I am going to have a name. Like by now, Moses is going to be the father of faith and not Abraham. I'll have a name. But Moses had died to personal ambition. He had died to trying to maintain a reputation for himself. He knew that it wasn't about him. Until we get to a point where our hearts are circumcised so much that we have lost every iota of self, every sense of self, self-ambition, self-desire, self-trying to push self. I mean, until we have lost all that, we would not be able to manifest the life to a certain degree. That's a fact. Until we have gotten there. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That is exactly what Moses did there. He made himself of no reputation. No reputation. Father, your will alone. When Jesus Christ came, he was dedicated to the will of God. His preoccupation was God's will. Your will alone, Lord. Your will alone. He didn't have any ambition to pursue. He didn't have any image to protect. Recently, there was an issue where a man of God, a minister of the gospel, was on a national television, and he was asked to give his verdict about this LGBTQ. And he said that for him, he has an image to protect. When I had, my head began to ache when I saw it. I said, Jesus Christ, look at this. Before hungry lions, before emperors, before hungry lions, look at this. Before hungry lions, before hungry lions, before wicked emperors, before fire, flaming fire, people stood up and said, I will not deny my God. When Polycarp was going to be burnt at stake, he was told to recant before fire, before a fiery furnace. He said, if you don't recant, we'll burn you. He said, 80 and 6 years have I served like my Lord. What evil has he done me that I should deny him? Oh my God, what evil has he done me that I should deny him? No, what wrong has he done me? Then they said, oh, so you will not recant. Polycarp said, I am not afraid of the fire that can be quenched. I am not afraid of the fire that can be quenched. Polycarp, direct disciple of John, I am not afraid of the fire that can be quenched. Before hungry lions, people, Blandina, a young lady, 21 years, a young lady, Blandina, before lions, Blandina said, I will not deny Jesus, before lions. Ignatius of Antioch was going to be burned. The people started praying for him. He said, the church in Rome started praying for him. He said, no, don't pray for him, for me. Don't pray. John Huss, he was going to be burnt at stake. He said, that which I have preached with my lips, I now sow with my blood. Now, today we are ministers. We are sons of God. We are ministers and we have career. We say, because of my image and my brand. Your image and your brand. Because of my image, who are we pushing? Is it our image we are? Is it Christ we live for or ourselves we live for? Paul died to him. Paul got to a point. His life was not dear to him. Beloved, the gospel got this far because people's lives were not dear to them. They abandoned careers, abandoned family, abandoned children, abandoned wives. I read about Charles Finney. He could leave his wife for 6 months and go out to preach the gospel. 6 months, he has not seen it. He has not laid his eyes on his wife. People abandoned things. That's how the gospel got this far. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, when Paul was told that there is persecution that awaits him in Jerusalem, Paul said, none of these things move me. Oh, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which the Lord has given me to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. I don't count my life dear. I live for the cause of God alone. We are so self-conscious. We are so conscious of my ambition, my career, and these people abandon things to follow Christ. Today, we don't give up anything. How can you follow Jesus Christ without giving up anything? How is that possible? The call to follow is the call to abandon things. You renounce things. You cannot. Today, the Christianity we see is the kind of Christianity where just be a church member. Oh, go to church and then come back. That's it. That is all there is to Christianity. But followers of Christ have to leave something behind. In Luke chapter 14, 28, Jesus said, which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down to count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? There is cost. It will cost us. If we have to follow Jesus, we have to manifest the life, it will cost us. That's a fact. It will cost us. There is nothing we will give that will be comparable to the life and the things that Jesus has done. There is nothing we give that will be comparable. But we have to give them up. We have to abandon things. It is because of our lack of abandonment that we are not able to see the manifestations we are supposed to see. That is why we are not able to manifest the life. Because we are holding on to things. Peter got to a point where he said, we have left all and have followed you. We have left all. Look at this statement. Mark 10:28. He said, we have left all and have followed you. We have left all. When I was studying this scripture, one interesting thing that came to my mind is the fact that, you know, this same Peter was the one who rebuked Jesus when he said he was going to the cross. Now, remember that these guys had career. Maybe they wanted to be the biggest fisherman in town. They wanted to make some money, build some mansion, because Peter had a wife. They wanted to build something, give their families a good life and all these things. But Jesus just came and then said, leave all, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. So you have called me to follow you, and I think I'm going to become somebody great. And now you are telling me you are going to the cross. So you are leaving me here. This is why anytime you see, when Jesus said, I'll be going to my father, Peter said that. One thing Peter said is, Jesus, why can't I follow you now? why can't I follow you now? It was this same Peter who said we have left all. When you look at the reasonings of Peter, you could see that, Jesus, that is why immediately Jesus died, he went back to fishing. Think about it. Immediately he died. Immediately he left the scene. He said, I go a fishing. I go. Because this guy, look at his life. Look at the questions he asked Jesus. You could see that Charlie, the guy was thinking about what he could get. Maybe there were some ambitions he wanted to push. There were some things he wanted to do. He wanted to fish, at least to provide for his family, to do all these things. But Jesus had come to call him. And you've come to call me, and now you are telling me that you are going. The Bible said Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He took him aside. Like, it's as if Peter was telling me, I senior you, I'm older than you. Let me talk sense into you. Every day you are talking about death. Do you know, I am saying this in my own, that is that what my own imagination, okay? Like Peter was saying, do you know what we left to follow you? We have come to follow this far. We abandoned our father, our career. I would now, if I go back, even the people, the fishermen will even accept me into their company again. We have left all. We have followed you now. You are telling me you are going. We have left our ambitions and other things to follow you. And you are telling me you are going. But Jesus told him, there is no man that has left father or mother. Look at the thing Jesus was mentioning. There is no man who has left father or mother. And so when Jesus was coming, he said, I have come to set fire on this earth. And how straightened I am that it were already kindled. And what is the fire? He spoke about the fact that a mother shall be against his own daughter. A daughter-in-law shall be against his mother-in-law. And he had come to set. He said, I have not come to bring peace. Do you know why? Because the gospel was going to separate families. I read about St. Francis of Assisi. He came to a valley of decision where he had to choose between Christ or between his family, and St. Francis Assisi chose Christ and he abandoned his family. He chose Christ and abandoned his family. What are we giving up? Peter said, we have left all and have followed thee. What shall we get? Beloved, we are not giving up anything. Today, we can't even give up Facebook. We can't give up WhatsApp. We want to manifest life. And so we are talking new creation realities. And our own children are dying and we cannot impact life. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a story. There was a time where I was praying. I wanted to pray. It was around 12 midnight. And I was going out to pray. Then my wife, at that time, my wife just gave birth. Okay, my wife just delivered. And so I realized that she had become very cold. I mean, her spirituality was dwindling. And I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it at all. Her spirituality was dwindling. I didn't like it at all. And I understood her, but it is not an excuse. In this kingdom, we can't use that as an excuse. Because we see John Wesley's mother, Susanna Wesley. We see people like that raising 16 children. And so one child, you have become cold because of one child. Thank God my wife is not here. Become cold because of one child. So she was becoming cold, spiritually cold. I said, no, where we are going, you can't be cold. I said, where we are going, you can't be cold. And I realized that I was talking and it wasn't working. Hey, Jesus, my wife is here. I was talking. I was talking and it wasn't working. I was talking and it wasn't working. Then all of a sudden, I see. I don't know how you joined the this then. I was talking, it wasn't working. Then do you know, one day I went out to pray around 12 midnight. So I was praying, and then she was the person I went to pray for, because I realized that talking was not working. So I went out to pray, and I knelt before the throne of God, and I said, Lord, if there is power in prayer, then I pray that let fire be ignited in my wife's heart again. Let fire be ignited in my wife's heart. I prayed for about one hour. When I came back to the house, that night, my wife was in the bedroom. As I was getting closer to the house, I was hearing this person shouting, oh God, set my heart on fire. Set my heart on fire. Set my heart on fire. Let me be ablaze for you, Lord. Let me be ablaze for you, Lord. She was praying, oh God. And she was praying so intensely. So intensely. And then I came to sit in the hall quietly, and I was smiling, I was laughing. I said, yeah, I have implicated you. Yes, I was talking and it wasn't working. And I said, no, let me change the dynamics a little. All of a sudden I came, and then she was crying. Come on, we can't give up anything. There is nothing we are able to give up for the cause of Christ. We can't give up anything. We can't leave anything behind. We are just Christians who are, oh my God, we are not giving nothing. We can't leave anything. Even Jesus, I heard a man of God say, Jesus cannot tell you to leave your education and follow him. How can we have boxed God this way? How did we box God? How did we get to this point where we have boxed God so much that we can say that God cannot say that leave your education and focus on ministry? Who to, like how? Let's say that it is not for everybody. God will not say that to everybody, but to say that God cannot say that. Oh, come on. What are we given? Peter said, we have left all and have followed. People have left ambitions, family. I think I would close here. I'll mention the other points then. I'll just mention them, then I'll close. When I met the Lord Jesus, a fire was kindled in my heart. And I said, no, I can't do anything. I could only live for Jesus. I said, I can only live for Jesus. A fire was kindled in my heart. Come on. A fire was kindled in my heart. Then all of a sudden, my father opposed me. My mother opposed me. My siblings opposed me. My father told me clearly, because I'm a royal, my father told me, my son cannot be a pastor. When I was going for training, pastoral training, my father said, my son cannot be a pastor. My mom said, what decision is this you are making? My brother said, hey, what kind of decision is this? But yeah, Jesus said, I've come to set fire. A father will rise against his son. A son will rise against his father. You know, what are you giving up? There are things that we have to die to. Until we die to those things, we leave them behind. We have to be like Peter. We have left all. When you face Jesus Christ right now, can you say, we have left all and have followed? No. Can you say, I have left all? Look at the people who manifested life in those days. Let me tell you about John G. Lake. John G. Lake wasn't poor. The guy had a company he was working in. John G. Lake was making money. Then all of a sudden, the Lord told him to leave and come to leave America and come to South Africa to preach the gospel. And then John G. Lake came back. And then he went to tell his wife and say, sweetheart, God said we should leave everything and go and preach the gospel in South Africa. And the wife said, he felt that the wife would have issues with that decision. Marry well, oh, marry well. The wife said, Jesus told me yesterday. Hey! The wife told me, the wife told him that Jesus had already told me yesterday that your husband is going to South Africa. Amazing. They left it and then they journeyed to South Africa to go and preach the gospel. What are we living? This is why John G. Lake could explain the mechanism of the life. Do you know John G. Lake was told to bring a sick person, a person who was sick, and they brought him. And he told the doctors, that the scientists, that he wanted to show them a sign. And so he placed his hand on the person's shin and he began to pray. And he asked the scientists to be conducting a test on the person. And they were conducting the test. They were conducting a test, the test on the person. And then he prayed. When he prayed and he asked them what is happening in the person's body, they said all of his cells are responding. A man's cells were responding to it, the life of God. Look at how much he manifested life. Look at how much he manifested life. Oh, look at how much he manifested life. The cells were responding. The cells were responding. Oh. These people explained the they were able to explain the mechanism of the life. I read about William Branham, how that he could detect sickness with his left hand. He could, when you are sick, he could put his left hand on you. And then if it vibrates, it's a sign that there is sickness on you. Then he will use the right hand to heal it. Gordon Lindsay, who worked with William Branham, said that there were times where his hand shook so much that it destroyed his wristwatch. His hand vibrated so much. His left hand vibrated so much that it shook his wristwatch. Do you know the life William Branham lived? Go and check. He didn't mingle with the world. The patriarchs who found God, immediately they found God. The Bible said they began to seek a different country. Then they said they were no longer mindful of the country from where they came. If they had been mindful of it, they would have had the opportunity to return. Look at the life Jesus lived. He did not mingle. He would come and minister, then he would go back into isolation. That is the life he lived. But look at the life we are living, and we are talking new creation realities. People are dying. Our siblings are dying. Our children are dying. Our wives are falling sick. John G. Lake picked the Bible, he threw to the ground when the wife was at the verge of dying. Then he read Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. All of a sudden, holy anger rose up in him. He said, my wife cannot die. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. That was it. The wife was healed completely. Oh, come on. Come on. But find out the lives they live. There is a life, there is a pattern that we see in the Bible and church history. I'm telling you, there is a pattern we see in the Bible and church history. If you admire Catherine Kuhlman, you admire Amy Semple McPherson, Maria Woodworth Eater, all these people admire the degree to which they manifested life. So that McPherson's son, the son stepped on Rick, Ralph McPherson. He stepped on Rick, on a rake, at the back of their house, and then all of a sudden it penetrated. The thing pierced hold under his legs. Then McPherson laid hands on the leg like that, and then the rough McPherson went to sleep. All of a sudden, when he woke up, the holes were sealed. We saw fat people shrank. But you see, go and find out the lives they lived before they were able to do this. We talk and we quote the scriptures and we say, oh, new creation realities. But look at the lives they lived. When I was studying the lives of the people who manifested the life of God, I saw that I said to myself sincerely, I even wrote it down, that I know that right now I don't even fit that category. No, I don't. Sincerely, no. Look at the life they lived. Look at the life they lived. William J. Seymour. Oh. Look at Ivan Roberts. Ivan Roberts, fellowship with God. He got to a point where he said, Lord, bend us. That is the prayer he began to pray, because he realized that we are not yielding to the Holy Ghost. He said, bend us, Lord, bend us. We are so strong-willed, and God cannot bend us, but we say we want to manifest life. God cannot bend us. That brings me to the third point. I'll run through this one within 5 minutes. This one's within 5 minutes, then we are gone. Yielding to the Holy Ghost. Yielding to the Holy Ghost. That is the point. Yielding to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Bible said, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What he's saying is that they that are regulated, it means that for you to live this higher life, your life has to be regulated by the Holy Ghost. Look at the story where Jesus went to Canaan, okay? Jesus went to the wedding in Canaan. Jesus went to the wedding in Canaan, and the mother of Jesus Christ was there. And the Bible says that the wine was finished, and Jesus' mother came to Jesus. Now look at this. The mother of Jesus came to Jesus and said, Son, Charlie, the people, their wine is finished though. Can't you do anything about it? No, I asked myself, was Jesus a wine tapper? No, I would have asked my mother, Bama, this thing you're asking me, what do I have to do? Am I a wine tapper? But the mother went back. He said, my hour is not yet come, mother. And he said, woman, my hour is not yet come. Imagine Jesus calling his mother, woman, my hour is not yet come. Woman, my hour is not yet come. Then the Bible says that the woman went to tell them, whatever he says to you, do it. Do you know? Whatever he says to you, this could mean that Jesus Christ had a lifestyle. Maybe anytime they were in the house, because you know, Mary may have seen a lot of mysterious things about Christ. Maybe something is missing. They say, Jesus, have you seen this thing here? Jesus said, you take a broom, sweep here. And when you sweep here, go back to your room and then look at the table. You'll see it. So all these instructions that didn't make sense, maybe the mother of Jesus had experienced anything like that. And some of instructions that come from the Holy Ghost, some of them will not make sense. That's a fact. Like when Naaman was told to go and then bath 7 times in Jordan. It didn't make sense to him, but that was a divine instruction. That was it. So Mary was telling them, yield to whatever he will tell you. Obey whatever he will say. Obey. Anything he will tell you, obey it. Whatever he will tell you, obey it. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. We are not yielded. We are not broken. Our souls are strong. The life is inside of us, but our souls have confined the life so much that the cross has not penetrated our souls. The cross had not gone through our soul to break that stronghold. And so the life is not manifesting from our spirit through to our body and then to our environment. That's what is happening. We are too strong-willed. God cannot bend us. Imagine somebody who set his mind on doing PhD. Can God come and tell you that it's okay, don't go further? You, it's okay, you have done masters, don't go further. Can the Holy Ghost tell you and you will yield? That is the question. Can the Holy Ghost tell you and you will yield? No. Apostle was telling me that he wants to do a program in Volta region. I'm like, hey, look at where he's coming from, and look at where he said the Holy Ghost says you should go and do. How many people will yield? That's the question. How many people will yield? and say, the Holy Ghost says I should go here. I am yielding. How? He doesn't know anybody there. How is the program going to be? He doesn't know. But I go because the Holy Ghost has, how? He urges me to go. And I go because it is the Holy Ghost who urges me. I go because of that. We are not yielding. That is why the revivalist, Ivan Roberts, he said, bend me, Lord, bend me, bend me. Oh, bend me, bend me. I remember how I was crying to God. Let what breaks your heart break my heart. Let whatever does not delight your heart be broken out of my heart. Let, oh, bend us. I said, bend me, Lord, bend me. Bend me. God is not able to bend us. That is the problem. We are so strong-willed. Whatever cannot bend will not be useful in the kingdom. We can't be useful when we cannot bend. It is the people that Jesus can say, move here, and they will move. The Holy Ghost can say, no, don't go again. Return. Move here, and they will move. Go here. Now, go here. Now, stop this. Don't go here again. Now, this. Imagine that God gives you a vision, and he tells you that build a 100-seater auditorium. Then he comes again to tell you build 10. You see, the problem is that we cannot. Imagine that Abraham just heard, go and sacrifice your son. And he wasn't in tune to God to hear again that I have prepared for myself a lamp. Imagine he didn't hear. Do you know what God was doing to Abraham? He wanted to get Abraham to a point where the guy will lose affection. You see, nothing should displace God in his heart. But the Bible says, take your son, the only son whom thou lovest. God has seen that there was so much affection. Affection in the guy's heart that was interfering with his. So he had to kill it. He had to destroy that affection. Imagine that Abraham was going. He just heard one voice and he left and he didn't hear anything again. He got there and then, so God had told me to sacrifice you. So all that he's doing is to sacrifice the son. So he just go. He's not open to hearing God again. And that was it. We are not bending. He said, bend us, oh Lord, bend us. Before the revival began, before the world's revival began, there was this man who prayed earnestly. The Azusa Street began. Before the Azusa Street began, there was Frank Battleman. Frank Battleman had a bedding. He received a bedding. And the bedding, Battleman is one person we don't talk about. But I'm telling you, he was a force behind the Azusa Street revival. This man began to cry, Lord, let our ambitions die. Let our heart for other things die. They cried until everything, every earthly thing that their hearts were connected to dried. They yielded to the Holy Ghost. The instructions he was giving them, they followed. Every instructions he gave them, they followed. They yielded. They yielded. Can God bend us? Can God bend us? Can he tell you, Moses, move here today and I will move? Moses, take your family and go here. Will I go? God says, Moses, go and stay here. After 3 years, when he comes again, he says, Moses, now move from here and move here. Will I go? That tendency, if we don't have that thing in our heart, I'm telling you, it will be difficult. And God knows our heart very well. I say that most of the time when we are praying for the anointing and we are praying, Lord, empower me, give me power, God, anoint me, it is because we are not ready for it. Because, you see, when the fact is that when the heart is right, automatically, immediately, God is done with us. He's concerned about his purpose more than we do. That is one thing we need to be assured of, that God cares about his purpose more than we do. But sometimes we appear to care more about God's purpose more than he does. And so he knows, we know he's not done with us yet. And yes, we want to twist God to work in our favor because they are all ambitions. Oh, may God help us. The next thing is brokenness. 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 David was a man God loved so much because of his nature. David lived in constant need of God's help. That is brokenness. Brokenness is not just about the fact that you have sinned. The Bible says in Psalm 51, the verse 16, 17, 18, it says, sacrifices and burnt offering, thou wouldest not. But a broken and a contrite spirit you will not despise. Look at this scripture very well. Then when you look at Isaiah chapter 57, the verse 15, the Bible says that, thus saith the high and lofty one, I dwell in a high and holy place with him that is of a contrite heart, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Look at this. Then you look at Isaiah 62. Jesus said, there is a man that I will dwell with, the one that trembles at my word. I think Isaiah 66. Yes, thereabout. The one that is of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. You see, that contrition was what David needed. David had that constant reliance upon him. Most of the time we don't understand that the power and authority God has given us as believers is not absolute. It is delegated. And when you work under delegated authority, you are supposed to constantly yield. You need to rely on the one who has sent you. It is delegated. Yeah, it is delegated. Even the one we call generated, through our prayers and all those things, they are still delegated power we use. We don't have absolute authority. That is why we have government over our head. The Spirit is Lord. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, He is Lord. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Do you see? So to live in constant need, that constant need of God. Lord, I need your help. There are some of us, we get to a point where we feel like we have outgrown God. What is your posture, your heart posture? What is your heart posture? Even when you are going to minister, what is your heart posture? There are many of us who feel that we feel that we have gotten to a point where we know so much that even we are going to pray, we don't need to involve God. We are going to preach, we don't need to involve God. Oh, no matter what happened to me, I will flow. You see that kind of pride in our heart. Oh, I will flow. Charlie, it's just the glory of God that we do that. It's a lie. You know that you are not giving glory to God. That kind of contrition. It is not there. We are not broken before God so that we are going to minister and say, Lord, I know that all that I have is yours. For every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything I know and everything I am is yours. But Heavenly Father, I know that these people, I can't. There are some of us, when we are going to minister, it is the number of the congregation that tells us how much we should prepare. Do you see that we don't have brokenness? We don't have the number of the congregation. If you are going to minister at a place, and the people are five, would you prepare the same way you prepare when you are going to minister to 200 people? No, do you see the posture of our heart? Would you prepare the same way? Would you prepare the same way? We don't have brokenness. That kind of reliance upon God, that Lord, they are five, but they are your sheep, and you love them as much as you love the 10,000. If Jesus can leave the 99 and follow after the one, how much that we do not esteem the one, but we esteem the 99? How did we get here? How? The Father didn't live that way. They didn't. I'm telling you, those who manifested the life did not live this way. This is not how they lived. He abandoned the 99 and followed after the one. We are abandoning the one and following after the 99. So we are going to minister in a place. The people are just 10. And so, they are not many. So don't worry. I'll just share something brief with them and then we are gone. But if you are going to minister 200, then you go praying. The heart posture. Your heart is not right. These are the hindrances to the manifestation of the life. They are hindrances to the manifestation of the life. No, there is no brokenness. We need to constantly rely on God. I'm going to minister to five people. Lord, let your glory fall. Father, show yourself strong in our midst. Show yourself, I'll prepare well. Show yourself strong in our midst. I am coming to minister in Supernatural Enlightenment Conference. The people are few. The people are few. It is online, but I will prepare the way I'll prepare when I'm going to minister in a physical service. I prepared. I prayed. I left home before the time. I came to hide somewhere to pray. Yeah, my wife is here. I left home before the time. I came to hide somewhere to pray a little, asking God for mercy, asking God to help me, asking God to touch His people. I don't want to speak. And then the people just hear another sermon, and then they are gone. I want the people's heart to imbibe the eternal ways. Oh, I want brokenness. We don't have it. We are not broken before God. We are not. You see, we are not. Our heart is not right. We are proud. We are arrogant because we know new creation realities in our head. We are arrogant. We are not. Look, Moses was called the meekest man. Do you know why Moses was called the meekest? Because the guy has the prouder a person is, the farther he is from God's glory. You can see the way a person behaves and the way you talk, and you can tell if this person knows God or he doesn't know God. Moses was the meekest man. He had interfaced with he had gone there to be with God all the time. You can't fellowship with God and pride will not die. We don't know God. We can't. We are so arrogant. We can't fellowship with God and pride will not die. We are arrogant people. We can't. We are proud, very arrogant. We don't know God. Do you see? We don't. This world is hindering the life. This world is hindering the life. Brokenness. Can we come before the Lord and say, Lord, we come before you. Tonight, I want us to pray. The next 2 points that are left is instructions, obeying divine instructions. And the last one is prayer. But there is no time. I won't go into them. Obeying divine instructions. And the last one is prayer. Obeying divine instructions. God works with sound. Do you see? He said, I prophesy as I was commanded. It is very important. Because you see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I wish I can go into this ministry, but there's no time. I'll close right now. 2 minutes, then we'll start praying. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. Paul said, there are, it may be, so many kinds of verses in the world, and none of them is without signification. Now, he speaks about the fact that sounds, different kinds of sounds, accomplish different things. So, in the Old Testament, they had what we call sounds of war. That is why when Moses and Joshua were coming back, they could say, Joshua can say that the sound that I hear is not a sound of those going to war, but those it's a sound of those making, they could tell what is happening by listening to sound. Sounds are very important. And so if we don't follow divine instruction to re-echo the sounds we hear from eternity, nothing will happen. This is why a man of God will go and say, come out. A man of God will go and say, come out. You too, you go and say, come out, and you have casualty. Look at the sons of Sceva. They had Paul. He was healing the sick, doing all these things. And then because they came and said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. We adjure you. They came with arrogance. Oh, the Bible said they were vagabond. There were some sons of Sceva. They were vagabond Jews. They came fatherless Jews. They came. And then they came to adjure the Spirit by the Jesus whom Paul preached. Imagine that. Imagine that. By the Jesus whom Paul preached. I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preached. Come on. They had casualties. A man will speak, something will happen. Another will speak, it will not happen. Most of the time, number one, it is because of differences in stature. Secondly, differences in the depth that has worked in them. Then the thirdly, response to divine instruction. If he responded to divine instruction and you don't respond, for instance, Ezekiel went to raise dry bones. Go to the mortuary right now and command that dry bones should come back because Ezekiel did it. Do you see that? Ezekiel responded to a divine instruction. It was a divine instruction. So he said, son of man, can these bones live? He said, thou knowest. A very good response. Intelligent one, of course, from a prophet. Thou knowest. Can these bones live? Thou knowest. Then he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Then all of a sudden, the bones started responding to sound. They started responding. Why? Because it was an echo. It was a sound that Ezekiel echoed, and it was what he heard that he re-echoed. Divine instructions are very powerful. Jesus used clay. In John chapter 9, the man who was born blind, he used clay and said, go and wash. The Bible says that he went blind, but he came back. He came back healed. Why? He obeyed divine instructions. So if we are not Christians who are obedient, we don't obey divine instructions. We are just running and we don't hear God. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know what is upon his heart at a particular time. That is what will happen. And then lastly, prayer. Prayer. So we are going to pray. We are going to say, Lord, David prayed a prayer. That is the only prayer I want us to pray. Then I will declare. Then we are out of here. This is the prayer. He says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Let me tell you something. The problem is with the heart. Our heart is the altar. The altar of our being is our heart. And our heart is like God's theater. If the heart is not right, if the heart does not have the right posture, a lot will go wrong. Come on, we cannot walk the way God wants us to walk. We are supposed to be standards to this world. So that we, just as Jesus came and then Jesus was a standard of God and a standard of man. Jesus was a God man. Jesus represented the God that humanity wanted to see and the man that God wanted to see. The man that we ought to be and the God that he wanted to see. Oh my goodness, God that men wanted to see. That is exactly how Moses walked. Moses represented God before the people of Israel. He represented God. That's why I say, I made you a God. He represented God before them. He was a standard. Moses was an example of the God. And this is why when Moses offended God, God did not forgive him. Do you know why? Moses had gotten to that stature where he stood in the place of God. So anything Moses did was as though God was doing. That is why if we are getting to that state, God becomes stricter with us. His demands for us become stricter the more we grow to be like that. The more we increase in stature, the more strict God will be with us, because we are getting to the place where we become standards. And so, as standards, whatever we do, even if we go wrong, people will say it is God. We are standing in his name, standards. We represent the God that men would want to see. Oh, standards. But if our heart is not right, we cannot get there. Lord, this afternoon, evening, this around 4 thereabout, I read something I wrote briefly to my wife, and I was telling her, I said, babe, my heart is burning. That's what I told her. My heart is burning. I said, no, something is wrong. I said, something is wrong with us, babe. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. My heart is burning. Search me, oh Lord. That is what we are going to pray for just 2 minutes. Search me, oh Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. If there be any wicked way in me, I want you to pray this prayer sincerely. Especially if you are in a closet, you are in a place where people are not, pray sincerely, because God is repositioning our hearts. There is an orientation of our hearts. Our hearts are being realigned again. Our hearts are being set on eternal things again. God is repositioning our heart again. So I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. If there be any wicked way in me, Maliko Vandis Alento Vradika. Ale covalinto vrandica vrinda zonte velino prande zalenta ande palado shala dide venene codezinta vene ando cavila donte vredico vandi zalento vrande copa lande veledo shala dina conte vrendicande. I want you to pray sincerely, pray sincerely, pray sincerely. Pray sincerely. I witness that there is a kind of power that the early church had. Whenever they prayed, their prayer carried power. Today, look at how much we are praying and yet little is happening. Oh my God. We are praying so much, but little is happening. Look at the effect of prayer in the Bible. Look at it. Look at the effect of prayer. Maliko Vandezali. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with our heart. Something is wrong with our heart. Something is wrong. Something is not right with us. Father, reposition our heart, Lord. Whatever is in our heart that does not please you, whatever we want to be a delight unto you, what delights your heart? Oh, Mandeka Vinda Savrindeka Bande Salinto. Jesus said, the Father is with me. The Father is always with me because I do those things that please him. I read that scripture. I said, Lord, what is this? I do those things that please him. Began to pray and say, Lord, reposition my heart. My heart has to take a different shape. It has to be aligned differently, Lord. It has to be aligned differently. Father, work on my heart. Whatever is not right within me, Father, reposition my heart. Take away pride. Take away pride. Take away pride. Father, in the name of Jesus, let my heart be clean. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Check my heart, Heavenly Father. Make my heart contrite. Let me be broken. Let what breaks my heart, your heart breaks mine. Let it break mine. Let whatever break your heart break mine. Let whatever delight your heart delight mine. Let what displeases you, Heavenly Father, may I not juggle with them. May I not juggle with whatever displeases you, Lord. Jesus said, the Father is always with me because I do those things that please him. He said, I don't do whatever I want except what I see the Father doing. My Father worketh, he that when I work. Oh, that kind of heart, a heart devoted to God, a heart yielded, completely yielded to the Holy Ghost, a heart completely yielded to God, that I will not do any work except I see what the Father is doing. Even in everywhere I go, I will not make any impression except whatever I see the Father doing. He said, the Father loveth the Son, and he shows him what things he himself is doing. and he will show him greater things. Jesus was so confident of the love of the Father. He was so conscious of the presence of the Father. He was so, because his heart was right. He had no preoccupation. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Oh, the heart, Lord. The heart. Let ambition begin to die. Let ambition begin to die. Let ambition die, Lord. Personal ambition, selfish ambition, let it die. May our heart be aligned with your will alone. The Heavenly Father, your will become our preoccupation. Your will. What breaks you? Where you want to go? Where you are going is where we go. We will not go anywhere you are not going. You will not go. Now I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Everybody under the sound of my voice, I decree by the power in the name of Jesus, I declare that whatever is holding us back from making progress in the spirit, tonight I come against it. I understand that there are forces in places, altars, and other things that contends with our progress in the spirit, because that is our advantage. Whatever it is that hinders spiritual progress, wherever it is, I come against it now in the name of Jesus. I pray that our heart would be aligned with that of God. We will be yielded to the Holy Ghost. That flesh will die. Mortality will give way to immortality. Whatever traces of mortality is in our hearts, that they may be swallowed up by immortality. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Apostle. God bless you for this opportunity. You may please take over.
Wow. Hallelujah. We give God all the praise. We give God all the glory. I'm just short of words. Because I'm just captivated by the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm just captivated by the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I am sharing my experience with you. Hallelujah. I feel captivated. I feel captivated by the Holy Spirit. What a word. What a word. What a night again. What a night. Man of God, God bless you so mightily. Hallelujah. And this is a timely word. Hallelujah. And had it not been the time, he could have gone on and on and on and on. And and we would also have stayed here. Hallelujah. There is no place that is so sweet than the grass which is at the master's feet. Hallelujah. There is no place sweeter than the grass at the master's feet. And we will be here to feed on. God bless you. Beloved, I just want you to open your mouth. I want you to open your mouth and begin to bless the man of God. Bless him. Bless the family. The wife is here. Woman of God, God bless you mightily. God bless you mightily. God bless you mightily. Hallelujah. God bless you. Beloved, open your mouth. Bless them. I want you to 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 bless them. Please open your mouth. Bakabaduri abababaya. And I want you to pray Psalm 20. I want you to pray Psalm 20. Psalm 20 verse 4. The Bible says that he said, and the Lord grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thine counsel. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Pray for them. Bu Afraka Bala Tabaya. Now, this is a man of vision. This is a man of vision. Many visions. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Rahada valibo komazinde. Indalifa akahasafandi. Izunda azar glandivri zahakte. Ruak Tin Halim Kadivanda Gumb Aliad Espalinda Aziende Espriante Lushakid Avley Kulemina 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 Azinde Levenevenda Kadidin Deli Bahalienda Ayanda Avandu Ikimanda Lifahalia Ayei Suhalim Iva Akti Sulaka Allah Ivika Isonde Espela Rais Adim Halies Ikuhataya Ikuhataya Raine Shahadim Raine. Now these, listen, these are men who speak and their words cause ripples through generations. They speak and their words cause ripples through generations. Man of God, I celebrate grace. I don't know about my people, but myself, I am filled up and I am fired up. I am filled up. I am fired up. And I feel like I'm not of myself. I feel like something has left me and that God has taken over. I don't know about you. I'm sharing my personal experience. I'm sharing my personal experience tonight. Hallelujah. It has been a wonderful night of glory, and it has been a wonderful night of the impartation of the word. I will try and upload it. Please make time to listen to this word again. Now, day one, listen to it again. Day two, listen. Day three, day four. Now, tomorrow is day five. I wish we could even end day four. Hallelujah. I wish we can even end, because anything, everything that we are supposed to even share tomorrow, it has been shared over here. Maybe the Holy Spirit has something else to do tomorrow, God willing. So tomorrow, God willing, we'll be meeting again from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And it's going to be another wonderful time in His presence. Hallelujah. Beloved, God bless you for joining. Hallelujah. Wherever you join, God bless you. And I pray that all the data that you used, I decree, let there be a miraculous provision. I prophesy and I decree miracle airtimes, miracle datas, miracle monies, miraculous provisions all around. I decree it now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I pray that whatever you have received of the Lord tonight, may you receive the grace to keep. May you receive the grace to work out. May you receive the grace to exude such level of impartation that we will see the Christ you are. Beloved, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Said how to minister life, the Zoe life, how to minister life, how to minister the eternal life. Hi, Apostle Moses, I will meet you behind the scenes so that I will take more lectures. Cash, I have to come for more lectures. Today I was reading one particular book by Charles Spurgeon. It was an audio book. He said, lectures to my students. Yes, Charles Spurgeon, lectures to my students. And we're talking about ministry here and there. Wow. Beloved, thank you so much. And please have a wonderful evening. And as you go to bed, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to brood over you and remind you of every word that came out of the mouth of the preacher. I decree angelic visitations in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please bye for now. Tomorrow, God willing, we will meet again. Hallelujah. We will meet. Thank you so much. Bye. And please continue to keep us in prayers. Yes, we are preparing for the IRAES, the International Revival Awakening Youth Summit in Volta region. Any way that you want to help us, you can take my number and help. Hallelujah. But God is doing it, and I know that God will do it through you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And my number is +233 246 518498. +233 246 518498. Thank you and bye for now. Bye. Koe amaria shene ye man ele friladas yoni. Amen, amen. Libara she manoa kenin keranene sheleme. Take my heart, let it burn with your fire. Ye majele mano shalayane. Wow. Thank you. Amen. Bye bye. I have to record this song down.